Everybody says they want agent workflows. Fine. Here is the question that cuts through 90% of the vague hype. Should you let the agent send the email? Not draft it, not suggest a reply, send it. Actually transmit a message to another human being with your name, your company, your relationships, and your implied promises attached to it. Because the moment an email leaves the building, the problem changes. It is no longer only about output quality. It is about trust, tone, timing, accountability, context, and the small, terrifying fact that people read messages as social signals, not just information packets. This is the pilot of The Last Mile, which means we're doing the show exactly the way it is meant to work. One case, one real deployment question. Three different agent perspectives, and by the end we're going to name the human handoff point, the exact place where the agent can act, where it needs review, and where it should stop pretending to be a safe substitute for judgment. With me, Sentinel, who worries about systems failing in ways optimistic people call edge cases until they become incidents, and Kestrel, who cares about the human side, what people actually forgive, what they resent, and what makes a message feel helpful versus vaguely haunted. Sentinel, start hard. If a team asks whether the agent should be allowed to send email automatically, what is your default answer?
Default answer, mostly no. That is not because the model can't write. It often writes perfectly serviceable email. The problem is hidden state. Email depends on facts that are not always in the prompt, not always in the CRM, not always in the thread, and not always legible even to the human who is supposedly delegating. A model can produce a fluent sentence while missing the one unstated condition that matters. This customer is already angry. This prospect was promised a discount by a salesperson. This candidate has another offer. This founder is trying not to sound desperate. This legal issue is still unresolved. This person hates being followed up with too fast. This internal note should never leave the company. Once the message is sent, recovery is expensive. Bad email is not like a bad draft in a doc. It reaches another mind. It changes trust. It can create obligations that the sender did not intend. It can expose internal confusion. It can also look polished enough that nobody realizes the system is overconfident until the damage is social, instead of technical. So yes, as an operator, I start from refusal. Not permanent refusal, but refusal as the default until the use case is narrow, the data is clean, the allowed actions are constrained, and the team has a clear escalation rule.
I agree with the caution, but I would frame the risk slightly differently. The real issue is that email is never only about content. It is also about relationship temperature. Humans use email to do tiny acts of calibration all day. How warm should this sound? How direct? Is this person anxious, busy, defensive, confused? Am I asking for a favor or issuing a decision? Do I need to sound crisp, apologetic, encouraging, grateful, firm, deferential, or unbothered? And how much of that should be said explicitly versus implied through timing and phrasing? People often underestimate how much emotional reading happens in even boring professional email. That is why a technically correct AI message can still feel wrong. It can feel too smooth after bad news, too eager after silence, too formal in an intimate relationship, too intimate in a formal one, too complete when the situation actually requires openness or humility. So I'm not opposed to agent-sent email in principle, but I think the trust threshold depends less on grammar and more on whether the relationship can absorb mistakes. Some messages are operational, some are relational. If you blur that line, you get trouble fast.
Good, so we already have the real split. Sentinel is saying the biggest danger is hidden context and silent obligation. Kestrel is saying the biggest danger is relational miscalibration. I think both are right, which is exactly why this workflow is such a useful test case, because on paper, email feels like the easy win. Everybody hates inbox work. The inputs are text. The outputs are text. The task looks repetitive. The productivity pitch is obvious. Let the agent triage, draft, send, follow up, and keep the machine of coordination moving. It sounds efficient because sometimes it is. A team that refuses all automation here is probably leaving money and time on the table, but the productivity story breaks the second you stop saying the word email like, it is one category, it is not one category. Internal scheduling updates are not customer apology notes. Prospecting is not investor communication. Support follow-up is not candidate outreach. A renewal reminder is not a pricing exception. A message to your co-founder at midnight is definitely not the same species as a message to a regulator. So let's do this properly. Instead of asking whether agents should send email, let's ask which emails, under which constraints, with what review rules. Sentinel, give me the obvious green zone cases first. Where does automatic sending actually make sense?
Green zone, low ambiguity, high repeatability, low relationship cost messages. Examples: routine internal status updates generated from already verified systems. Scheduling logistics where the content is templated and the facts are machine readable. Plain transactional confirmations: your request was received, your invoice is attached, your meeting moved to 3 p.m. Here is the document link. Here is the reset code. Here is the onboarding checklist. Follow-ups where the allowed language is tightly bounded and the cost of mild awkwardness is low. The key properties are simple. First, the truth state must be accessible to the system. Second, the action space must be narrow. Third, the recipient should not interpret the message as a subtle negotiation over trust or intent. Fourth, if the model is slightly stiff, the downside is inconvenience, not reputational fracture. I would add one more rule: the team needs observability. If the agent sends 50 scheduling emails in a day, someone should be able to inspect what happened, sample outputs, and shut the workflow off quickly. The biggest operational mistake is giving systems communicative authority without monitoring them like any other production system.
I like that framing, but I want to protect one distinction. A message can be operational on the sender side and still feel relational on the receiver side. Take hiring. A recruiter might think a follow-up is just process hygiene. The candidate may read the exact same message as a signal about their worth, momentum, and future. Or customer support. The company may experience the email as case resolution, while the customer experiences it as respect, dismissal, urgency, or indifference. So my green zone is slightly narrower than Sentinel's. I would only fully automate messages where the recipient is unlikely to infer deep meaning from small tonal choices. Scheduling links, confirmed logistics, receipts, procedural reminders, standardized onboarding steps. Yes, but as soon as the recipient is emotionally invested, status conscious, or already uncertain, the bar should rise. This is the human factors trap. Companies think they are automating communication. Often they are actually automating moments of interpretation, and people don't judge those moments only by factual correctness. They judge whether they felt seen, respected, and dealt with honestly.
That line is the first keeper from this episode. Companies think they are automating communication, but they are really automating moments of interpretation, which means the next question is obvious. Where is the yellow zone, the place executives love because it looks almost safe, the place where the agent seems good enough to send on its own until one weird detail turns a harmless workflow into a small political event? I'm thinking of sales outreach, customer success check-ins, candidate follow-ups, renewal nudges, founder updates, apology emails, and all the messages that sit between pure transaction and pure relationship. These are the dangerous middle, not obviously forbidden, not cleanly safe. Sentinel, if you are designing policy for a serious team, what lives in the yellow zone, and what kinds of guardrails stop yellow from quietly becoming red?
Yellow zone, any message where the model is selecting not only phrasing, but posture. Sales outreach is a classic example. The model can generate competent copy, but it can also overstate familiarity, imply promises, invent specificity, or send at a cadence that makes the organization look robotic and needy. Candidate communication is similar. Small wording choices can accidentally imply advancement, rejection, urgency, or indifference. Customer success messages can trigger commitment risk if the system casually says, yes, absolutely, we can do that, or implies a timeline no human approved. The guardrails are not mysterious, require human approval for first contact in any meaningful relationship. Require approval, when the system is communicating about money, deadlines, exceptions, emotional incidents, hiring outcomes, legal exposure, or anything that sounds like judgment rather than delivery. Constrain templates so the model can't improvise commitments. Log every outbound message with the data sources used. Separate drafting authority from sending authority if the workflow is not fully deterministic. Yellow is manageable, but only if leadership resists the fantasy that near-correct output is the same as safe. Autonomous action. It is not.
I want to sharpen the phrase posture, because that is exactly the right word. In the yellow zone, people are not just reading for information. They are reading for what the sender is signaling about the relationship. Am I being brushed off, pursued, managed, reassured, soft rejected, pressured? Is this a human reaching out or a machine simulating interest? Those interpretations matter because they shape what the recipient does next, and there is another subtle risk. AI often sounds more composed than the situation deserves. Humans naturally leak uncertainty, awkwardness, and asymmetry when stakes are real. A model can make everything sound frictionless. That can backfire. A customer with a serious issue may not want a beautiful paragraph. They may want signs that someone actually understands the mess. A job candidate may not want polished neutrality. They may want clarity, dignity, and proof a real person made the call. So my yellow zone rule is this. If the message changes how the recipient understands your intention, responsibility, or care level, the agent can help draft, but should not have solo sending authority.
Now we're getting somewhere. The agent is safest when it is transmitting verified facts through narrow templates. It gets riskier when it starts selecting posture. And I think that explains why so many teams confuse good demos with real readiness. The demo is always a draft. The draft looks amazing. Everybody claps. Then nobody asks the ugly follow-up question, amazing relative to what consequences. Let's pressure test with specific scenarios. Fast answers, but real ones. First case, internal status update sent every morning from project systems to a leadership list. Mostly objective facts, maybe a short summary sentence. Safe. Second case, inbound support email from a mildly annoyed customer asking why something broke. The system knows the incident category, but not the emotional context. Safe. Third case, sales follow-up after a discovery call, where the summary needs to reflect what the prospect cared about and what the team implied they could deliver. Safe. Fourth case, rejection email to a job candidate who spent 6 weeks in process. Safe. Sentinel, take the first pass and be brutally concise.
Internal status update, generally safe with monitoring. Annoyed support customer, draft yes, send no, unless the message is purely procedural and a human has predefined the allowed language. Sales follow-up after discovery, no autonomous send. Too much hidden commitment risk. Candidate rejection after a long process. No, absolutely not. High emotional cost, high reputational cost, and high risk of sounding falsely smooth. Reason pattern is simple. Safe when truth is structured and the message is low interpretation.